Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. In this episode, Cancer Network spoke with experts across oncology about presentations from the upcoming 2025 ASCO annual meeting that may shift the treatment paradigm for several types of cancer. First, Dr. Rachel Grisham from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center spoke about the research in gynecologic cancer that she is looking forward to seeing.
So one study I'm very interested in seeing is the results of relacorilant in combination with nab-paclitaxel for women with recurrent ovarian cancer. So the phase 2 study had shown promising results in progression-free and overall survival for those patients that were treated with intermittent relacorilant in combination with nab-paclitaxel. And I've seen a press release that says that the phase 3 study was a positive study, but that data, I believe, is being presented at ASCO this year. So I'm excited to see what that data shows and if that potentially represents a new opportunity for our patients with recurrent high-grade serous ovarian cancer.
Next, Dr. Min Tri Nguyen from Stanford Healthcare highlighted key breast cancer abstracts, such as the SERENA-6 trial.
There are so many, I think, practice-changing studies that I'm looking forward to. One would be the SERENA-6 study. This is for hormone-positive breast cancer, and essentially it's asking the question about changing endocrine therapy if a patient were found to have a ESR1 mutation. The question is whether or not we should switch aromatase inhibitors, which may not work well with these patients who have ESR1 mutations. Actually, we know hormone blocking therapies do not work well in this scenario. And if we were to use a medication like camizestrant in that space instead. So I think that's something that would be really practice changing. And it would not only for the treatment wise, but also for following patients surveillance wise, right? Because then how do we find these mutations in the first place if we are not looking for them? So perhaps part of the surveillance would be to look for these mutations in patients. I would say I'm looking forward to the results of that one. Some other studies that I think would be pretty hot topics would be in the metastatic setting. So ASCENT-04 is looking at the triple negative breast cancer space. And in that regard, looking at the combination of sacituzumab and govitecan with pembrolizumab. Preliminary studies have already shown that there's increase in PFS in these patients for those who have PD-L1 positive tumors. We'll kind of see how that compares with the full results being looked at ASCO when we look at that versus the standard of care, which is chemo plus pembro.
Next, Dr. Eric Singhi from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center discussed the lung cancer research to look out for.
This year, we're seeing a range of different studies that are potentially practice-changing for patients with lung cancer. So in the small cell lung cancer space, for extensive stage disease, we have the IMforte study, which is going to potentially shift the paradigm of maintenance therapy for these patients. So specifically, will lurbinectedin enter the maintenance therapy setting for patients with extensive stage small cell lung cancer? We will see. That's exciting to see this potential update since this hasn't changed since the addition of immunotherapy for small cell lung cancer. So that'll be an exciting update. I think two other exciting updates are going to be in the neoadjuvant space, meaning treatment before surgery. One is the overall survival benefit update from CheckMate 816, which is looking at 3 cycles of combination chemoimmunotherapy and seeing what the effect is prior to going to surgical resection for patients with non-small cell lung cancer. And then the other neoadjuvant study that I'm really excited about for non-small cell lung cancer is the NEO-ADORA study. That study is looking at a combination of osimertinib plus chemotherapy versus osimertinib versus chemotherapy, seeing what maybe the best strategy is for patients with EGFR positive, surgically resectable non-small cell lung cancer. So those are just a select handful of studies that I'm excited about.
Next, Dr. Douglas Atkins from the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis highlighted research that may transform the standard of care in head and neck cancer.
In the context of locally advanced head and neck cancer, the trial called the NEVO post-op trial will be one of the plenary sessions at this year's ASCO 2025. This is a trial conducted in Europe And in contrast to the KEYNOTE-689 trial, in which pembrolizumab was given before and after surgery to age treatment for patients with locally advanced head and neck cancer, nivo post-op enrolled patients who had had surgery already and then received adjuvant radiation-based treatment, either with or without nivolumab. Both pembrolizumab and nivolumab are a type of immunotherapy drugs that inhibit the PD-1 receptor and offer the opportunity to enhance the immune response to reducing the chance of recurrence. And the top line report in the press release stated that outcomes were better in the nivo post-op trial with nivolumab given after surgery-based treatment. So I'm looking forward to seeing these results and excited to see how they impact the standard of care treatment, particularly in Europe, where the trial was conducted.
Finally, Dr. Ben Garmacy from Sarah Cannon Research Institute spoke about updates of interest in the bladder cancer field.
We're going to talk about further data from Niagara. And why do I like this? So what is Niagara? Niagara is a phase 3 study. Perioperative, looking at cisgem durvalumab, a PD-L1 inhibitor, versus cisgem alone. And now we know that this has a survival benefit. We've seen this. This is already FDA approved. It's already practice changing. Perioperative cisgem durva, and you also include the durvalumab maintenance in the adjuvant setting as well. So what are they presenting at this conference? They're presenting ctDNA analysis in patients who had the perioperative durvalumab. I think one of the biggest questions is if you have a pathologic complete response, which is about 30-ish 35%-ish or so on that study, and you have negative ctDNA, is any adjuvant therapy going to be over treatment? So I don't know how they're going to cut this data. I don't know how they're going to show it. I hope that, though, they can provide us some information is, can ctDNA be used to either intensify or de-intensify therapy in our patients? I don't know if that's what we're going to get, but I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that we get the data that can actually help us make decisions in the real world when using this combination. So I'm really excited about that Niagara study. Another study that I'm excited about as well is CheckMate 901, a further data set here. Nivolumab and ipilimumab versus gemcitabine and carboplatin in metastatic urothelial patients that are cis ineligible. So right now, we know that enfortumab vedotin and pembrolizumab dominate this space. We've seen in other phase 2 studies that CTLA-4 has questionable benefit in this disease. There are certainly some indications that if you give an increased dose of a CTLA-4 inhibitor, that you can get some responses in urothelial carcinoma. So I want to see what this shows. And I'm excited to see where Nivo, Ipi, how it ends up with the final analysis of this study. I don't expect this to be practice changing, but hopefully it is some kind of information about how this field can move in the future. So how do we build upon the current background of Nectin-4 ADC plus PD-1 inhibition in the future? So excited about that. And then bringing into something that, again, probably not super practice changing, but still a little bit interesting, is the Javelin bladder medley. This is a phase 2 study. We know the Javelin paradigm. It's kind of an older paradigm at this point. It's sister carbo gem, right? So doublet chemo. And then if doing well, stable disease or response, adding on the avelumab maintenance. That's how we treated patients with metastatic bladder disease until we had EV Pembro. Well, now they're looking at if you got chemotherapy doublet and then randomizing to the avelumab monotherapy versus avelumab, sacituzumab, govitecan. I find this interesting because obviously sacituzumab govitecan lost its FDA approval not too long ago due to the failure of TROPICS-04 when it went head-to-head against docetaxel and could not get a statistically significant benefit in that drug. But does SG add here? And the reason I'm excited about that is there a role for SG elsewhere in the treatment landscape in urothelial carcinoma? Or is there a role for other TROP2 inhibitors? Can we see activity against TROP2 as we think about the landscape and the developmental pipeline for certain new therapies coming? So I'm more interested to see where that's going to go. I don't think it's going to be practice changing unless that data blows things out of the water, right? Which I think probably won't. So I think EV Pembro is still going to be king of the hill in this space, but I think it'll be interesting data.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of CancerNetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at CancerNetwork.com and find us on Twitter at CancerNetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer-Network.